Hallelujah. That's one of the things that's critical for us, is to love His appearing. Amen. He said there's a crown for those who love His appearing. Did everybody get a bulletin this morning? You did. Who didn't get one? Nancy didn't get one. Would you give one, Nancy? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Inside your inserts this morning have a couple of things. Dealing with the millennial reign of Christ. To begin with, that word millennial is a Latin word and it's broken down into two parts. Mil, which means 1,000, and annum, which means year. So you have 1,000 years. Millennial. Amen. So when you hear that word, you know he's talking about 1,000 years. There is coming a time when Jesus is going to set up his kingdom here on earth. Amen? And he'll reign as the king of the whole earth for 1,000 years. Those who have been raptured and taken up and received their glorified bodies will reign with him for 1,000 years. There will be people on this earth at that time who have not received their glorified bodies. All right? They have lived through the tribulation and they're still in their earthly bodies. So you will have two groups of people at that time. The glorified ones, those who have received their glorified bodies at the rapture, and those who have made it through the tribulation and are still alive in Christ. Amen? We'll get to other people you're thinking in your mind who they are, and I'll come to those later. The idea of a millennial reign of Christ, that 1,000-year reign of Christ, comes right out of the Scripture, out of the Old Testament and the New Testament and Revelation, and it goes throughout the whole Scripture. Everything is not only about the coming of Christ the first time, but the second time of coming of Christ. And then it actually talks about the new earth and the new heavens after the millennial reign. And that's the eternal realm. Inside your bulletin, you see that. You have that insert. We put it in there this week, so you kind of get an idea and you can take a look at it. And it breaks down the different, what they call dispensations or times of history. We're in the dispensation of the church age, as they call it, while we're still here. As long as the church is on this earth, it's called the church age. Amen? There'll be a time, and we talked about this, when the rapture happens. We believe in the rapture. Because you go into 1 Thessalonians 4 and you go into 1 Corinthians 15 and you read about what it taken going up in the twinkling of an eye, being transformed and changed. And first the dead in Christ will come up out of the graves, and then those who are alive will be transformed. Their bodies will be glorified. In other words, instead of having an earth suit, you will have a space suit. And you'll be able to zoom right off this earth, right into space, without any harm to your physical being. Right now, if you should leave this earth the way you are with this body, you'll get up just so high and explode. Or at least you won't be alive. But there'll come a time when Jesus comes back and calls his bride to go back with him. We call it the rapture. We talked about that, where you got that word from and so on. It's not in the Bible, but the gathering up, if you rather, or the taking up, however you want to call it. And we are joined with him in the air, and then we all go back together into heaven. And we talked about what it's going to be like in heaven, but what we'll be doing in heaven. We did a little video to show, kind of to stir up the juices a little bit, to look at and say, okay, this is what heaven, to the best of our ability, could look like. The golden streets, the size of the city of New Jerusalem, where you have it 1,500 square miles all the way around and 1,500 miles high. And in that is the place where Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, or many rooms, if you would. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go there to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you will be also. And he said, if it's that's where I'm going to be, I'll come and get you, and I'll take you back with me. Amen? So he's coming back for his bride. We're called the bride of Christ because Jesus used the example of the Jewish wedding to explain the relationship between the church and Jesus, who is the head of the church. All right? And so what he was trying to get across to us was the intimacy or the relationship we should have with him. It has to be more than just saying, I love you. It has to be a life that has the example of I love you. I had to go the long way around from the word I forgot. All right? So in other words, he said, you will know them by their fruit. So you can't say, I love you. Jesus said it this way. Don't tell me you say, I love you, and not do what I ask you to do. Amen? One of the things he asked us to do is get ready for his coming. We talked about this. If you love someone, you know, the hardest thing for me is I don't have that anticipation of going home and Diane coming home. But I do have an anticipation of Jesus coming back for his bride. And that, I find my hope and my joy in that, not in this down here now. The church, sometimes I think in America, we've lost some razor edge anticipation. We got it so easy here in America that a lot of the Christian church doesn't care whether he comes back today or tomorrow or next week. Matter of fact, they got a lot of living to do before he comes back. Now you go overseas where the Christian church is, and you go into places like parts of Africa and the Middle East, and you go into China right now where there's such pressure coming down on the Christian church. You go to places like that, they're anxiously looking for his coming. They're seeking, oh, come quickly, Lord. They're saying, come quickly, Lord. Because many of them are suffering for his namesake. Many are dying. Their families are being torn apart. Many are being in prison. Many are being beaten. They're actually now, I think it's, I can't remember where it was, so I'll probably say it wrong, but and there's places right now where they're crucifying Christians. Thank you. They're crucifying Christians. It's not fun to be a Christian in many parts of this world, by the way. And when people take up their cross daily to follow him, it's a costly, costly walk. There's not a lot of joy in it. They don't go home thinking, gee, I wonder what's on TV or what am I going to make for dinner today. They're hoping that they have their next breath still alive. And their families and their friends. Churches, whole churches are being closed down and being persecuted. Right now in China, there's a great push on to destroy Christian churches. But not just Christian. I mean, all religious activity outside the state-run church. And there is a state-run church. They call it Christian, but you can't talk about the cross. You can't talk about the blood. You can't talk about the sacrifice, any of that stuff. Amen? Somebody's lights are on, a black Subaru. Oh, good. There you go. I just thought you'd like that. It was a public announcement. Just pass that along. Amen. So we have this hope in us that causes us to look to his appearing. We will not understand the fullness of the difference between what heaven and here is like until it happens. Amen? We won't. I mean, you can't take perfection. It would probably be like owning a Lamborghini compared to a Volkswagen. Amen? Well, I don't care if I own a Lamborghini. Well, you will care if you're in heaven or here. Here won't be a lot of fun. Heaven's going to be filled with joy. And if you don't like to worship, guess what, friends? You're not going to like heaven. You're going to do a lot of worship up there. You're going to sing a lot up there. Matter of fact, I can tell you this. The Bible actually says you're going to raise your hands to him up there when you worship him. I always advise, you might as well get used to it down here. Amen? I'm going to tell you, it's not that somebody's going to tell you to do it. When we stand before Him and when we get into His presence, the first thing you're going to do is fall flat on your face. I mean, come on now. Oh, well. So, Jesus preparing us for the coming of this time when He's coming back for us and for the millennial reign. He gave us many scriptures throughout this, and we're going to hit some of them in a few minutes. But I want you to get this also. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I explained to them, don't try to talk about the rapture of the church to a non-believer. It's hard enough even for those who believe in Christ. There's so many diversity of thought and understanding of Scripture in the world today. So many people just can't comprehend. Not many churches today are going to talk about the end days. Not many of them. It'll be more about how you can get more of this world so that you'll be comfortable down here. Well, that's not what this is about. He said in this life or in this worldly system, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Amen? If we escape this thing called the world down here and this system down here without any persecution, God's grace is all I can say. God's grace. But I know this. Wherever there's persecution on the church, there's a great, great, great harvest of souls. Where the greatest persecution is where the greatest harvest of souls is. Look around us. You think there needs to be a harvest of souls right now? Does God want to go through that persecuting time? No. He prefers it other ways, but it's not going to happen other ways because people get very comfortable in this world. Amen? We all do. Come on. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about me. The more comfortable you get to where you're at, the less likely you want to move. Even though God tells us the purpose of our salvation is to help others come to know Christ. We all have been given the ministry of reconciliation, to share the good news. Amen? But if we don't see, and if the world doesn't see a reason for it, well, they're going to be saved and go to heaven after they die. They're not worrying about dying. You understand that? The world right now, especially in America, let's use America as the world, that's what we know. We're more concerned about cosmetic surgery on how we can look younger. How much stuff you put on your face to get rid of wrinkles. The new, what do they call it now? The new 60, or the new 60 is 80 or something to that effect. People are talking about living to the hundreds. They want to live forever. Why? Because they got nothing to look forward to. Once this life is done, for them, it's done. There is no hope for a future. And I don't know about you, but I'd like the hope I have in me. And that's what causes me to share the good news with others. Hopefully, they can come to that same conclusion and understanding there is life beyond this point right here. And guess what? Whether we like to believe it or not, just as when Sears started closing its doors, the world did not stop. Amen? Look, when I leave this earth, nothing's going to stop. You understand that? Your life's going to go on. For a while, you'll think about me and feel bad about it. But eventually, you'll get over that too and keep going. But I'll be in a better place. I'll be having fun. Glory to God. So in this understanding, understand that not everybody's going to understand what you're trying to get across to them when you try to bring them the message of the hope of the eternal, or at least a millennial reign. We don't even get into the eternal. We'll get that. That's after the millennial. After the millennial reign, trying to share with them what's coming. Even in the Christian community, like I said before. On the bottom of this sheet, you're going to find there's three different beliefs in this millennial reign. First, the premillennialism. That's what we believe in. We believing in the coming of Christ. We believe he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. We believe that we're going to come with him when he comes back here. And we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. We believe in that. That's our faith is telling us, yes, that's going to happen. But then you've got the postmillennialism. They're the people who believe that Jesus won't come back until the church gets everything right down here. The church has got to straighten everything out. Then Jesus comes back. Amen? Yeah, well, we haven't been doing too good so far, so we don't. And there's reasons for all of these, and I think they're in there. And then amillennialism, or amillennialism, and that's the ones who don't believe in it. They just believe that this is all spiritual. All the words in the scriptures are all about. You can break them down, and they're more spiritual than they are reality. Well, we believe there's a real 1,000-year reign where really Jesus sets up his kingdom here on earth. Really, he will reign and rule out of Jerusalem. That's where his throne will be. Amen? And well, guess what? For those who don't get to there, you will. We'll all be there. Okay? So look through those papers. I want to just encourage you to look through those. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to give you just a taste before we go into what I'm going to back up and go into heaven with the saints in heaven, getting them ready to come back. But until then, I want to go into with me in Isaiah, if you have your Bibles. Isaiah 65. I want to give you a taste of what that time is going to be like here on earth. Amen? So it kind of gives you whet your appetite of what, oh, good, now I know what it's going to be like a little bit, what it's going to be like when I come back here. Amen? We're going to start in verse 17. Now behold, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. Now, he's not talking about the eternal when the new Jerusalem comes down. We'll see that in a minute. You'll see that. He's not talking about that time. Because that'll come a time of fire where he's going to cleanse everything, and then the new Jerusalem's going to come down. It's going to be a whole different, whole different thing going on. But right now, he's talking about the difference between what's now and what will be during that 1,000-year reign. Let's see, where did it go? I lost my place. Here, okay. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? Amen. You got to wipe all that junk away. Amen. Oh, I can't live down here knowing what that. Don't worry about it. God's going to deal with it. Amen. You don't want to enter into this with all those old thoughts. Amen. You want a new mind. You want something totally. Glory to God. Okay, let's go on. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Yee-haw. There's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have joy. Joy forever. Joy. 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 Amen. Of what he's about to do. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Amen? He's going to deal with Israel. We talk about this all the time when we have our Thursday nights, prophecy nights, and we talk about it. Understand something. Please understand this. America is not the center focal point of God. Israel is. Always has been, always will be. Is America important to God? Yes, because we're here. You understand that? There'll come a time when there will be no more America. Amen? There's just going to be. There will always be an Israel. There always will be a Jerusalem. Amen? When he sets up his kingdom here on earth, he sets it up in Jerusalem. Why do you think Satan hates Jerusalem? Why do you think there's a big fuss over Jerusalem constantly? This small little old city in a small country, what, they say it's about the size of Rhode Island or something? Amen? This little city over in Israel, and the whole world's talking about it. Why do you suppose that is? Because the enemy is raising up everybody against Jerusalem because he knows that one of these days, that's where Jesus is going to set up his throne. And he's doing what he can to slow it, to stop it. And he can't. He can't. He can't. Amen? Let's go on. Hallelujah. I keep moving my spot. All right. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Hallelujah. No more tears. No more crying. Listen to this. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. Now, no, that's why I tried to... Here's where you get the idea that he's not talking about eternity here. He's talking about the thousand-year reign, because in eternity there will be no more death at all. Amen? Death hasn't been conquered completely yet. Okay? Old men, when the eternal world comes that he's setting up, you're not going to get older. Right now, what we have here, remember what I told you, a combination of the glorified saints. Those who have gone in the rapture, had received their glorified bodies, are now returned with him. They're there. But also those who made it through the tribulation that didn't die. And those who did not take the mark of the beast. Let me say that. I didn't include that. What is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is, he said, there's a time coming when you cannot buy or sell. In other words, they're going to do away with all cash, all credit cards. The only way you can buy and sell if you're on this earth will be take a mark on the hand or on the forehead, and they would go through and you'd buy it just like now. Right now, I think it's Amazon has it. They have a store that you have a card or credit card or whatever in your pocket. You go into the store, you take your basket, you go around, buy what you want, and then you walk out the door. And you don't even have to take your card out of your pocket. You don't have to stop. It scans everything in that basket as you're walking out the door and takes the amount out of your credit, or on a credit card or out of your account. I'm not sure how that works exactly. So in other words, we're coming to a time, and right now over in, I don't know if it's Sweden or Switzerland, one of them, they're trying to do away with cash. There'll come a time when you won't be using cash. Amen. They'll figure it out, and they already figured it out, that they can, if you don't have cash on you, you're going to do away people who's not going to be stealing your cash from you. Robberies will be obsolete. What are they going to steal? We're coming to that age. So here we're going to see that no matter what, you're going to have to take a mark in order to buy or sell anything in this worldly system. Now, we'll be out of here then, but there are those who left behind, those who come to Christ, or those who are in Christ but for whatever reason didn't go into rapture, if there is such a group, will lose their head during that time more than likely. They'll die for their faith. But if they want to buy or sell during that time, if you want to go to the grocery store and buy food, if you want to buy gas for your car or fuel for your heater at home or whatever, you can't do it without the mark. If you take the mark, you're lost for all eternity. There is no hope for you. You cannot repent of it and come back. When you take that mark, you establish the fact you belong to Satan and you're one of his. Got awful quiet in here. Amen? You have to understand that. There is no, oh, well, I messed up. Well, I'll take the mark and then I'll repent and I'll be all right with God afterwards. Ain't going to happen. Amen? So we have to, we're going to be out of here though, right? Who's going to be out of here? Anybody out of here? You don't have to worry about buying and selling, right? Hallelujah. What's it going to take? We talked about this before. We just read it. In Titus, he said, look, those who have this hope in them, purify yourselves. In other words, start separating yourself from the worldly system. Start, as he said, the just shall live by faith. Faith. It's faith that's going to cause us to go up. Amen? Hallelujah. Anyways, okay. Where are we? Let's get going here. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. The child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Okay? Life goes on. Hallelujah. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. You know there's olive trees right now in Israel that they said were there from the time of Christ? Trees get to stay old. They stay old. Amen? All right. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. They shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Listen to this. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? We got a good time coming for us. He's preparing us, right? He's revealing. Remember what we talked about before? He said, listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived, but God has prepared for those who love him, except that the Holy Spirit has revealed it to them. How many know the Holy Spirit's already revealing to us what you can expect? Why? So you have this hope in you, this great expectation of something good coming. If you think this worldly system or this world down here, or this earthly realm right now is good compared to what he has already thought and prepared that's coming, so much greater, so much better, so much better. It's hard for us to even conceive. So he said, okay, I'll show you. I'll tell you what it looks like. I'll give you a little hint of what it's going to be like. And that day, you're not going to have the rich and the poor. Every need will be met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, will everybody be out with a hoe digging in the garden and planting seeds? I don't know. I don't think so, because very clearly, some will be over cities. There will be those in authority. Because remember, you still have people who are still living with a sinful nature. Right? There are people who are still alive who have not received glorified bodies, so they're not in a glorified state. So they're going to need people to be in authority over these people. That's what you're all called to be. Those who go up in the rapture, those who receive the glorified body, you will be overseeing cities, people's places to help keep order. What order? His order. There'll come a time after the 1,000 years, it says that Satan will be loosed again. And there'll be another war. Because even though you lived in a utopia world, right now, well, let's use America. We're pretty good right here. We all believe, at least the Christians believe, that this nation was built on Christian, for a Christian purpose, which is to escape the battles that they were going through and all the tribulation they were experiencing over in Europe. And they came here so they could have religious freedom, get away from the persecution over there. So we believe this was established, obviously, by God for the purpose of, in which we can see throughout the, for religious freedom, number one, and to support Israel, I think is one of the bigger ones also. Amen? But we also see that because of the freedoms we have here, more and more people, and because, and I'll say the good life that we have here, more and more people are turning away from the God that created this great nation and turning back to secularism, back to humanism, back to the world. More and more. Is there a great outpouring of God's grace and people coming to the Lord? Yes, obviously, throughout the world there is. But in the areas that there are the places where people are suffering the most. We've seen it in the nation through the history of the Gospels. We see it through the history of the Old Testament, where the nation of Israel, when they started prospering, no longer needed God. God warned them over and over and over about what was to happen, but they just kept going their way. God is warning us. Not a warning as much as an encouragement, a joy. Keep going. Don't quit. You know what my thing is. You don't quit. You don't back down. You don't go into a place where you were on fire before for the things. You better be on fire right now. Amen? You've got to love. You've got to have a desire for him. Don't just look for what he can do for you. Say, Lord, help me. Amen. So we're coming to that time. We're going to see this. Now, go with me into Revelation 19. We're going to go now, and we're going to start talking about what's going on up there. What's going on up there? Well, tribulation's going on down here. Remember when we talked about some of the things that might be happening up there? I believe that's where you're going to see the judgment of Christ, where you're going to go before him and you're going to reap your rewards. All your works are going to be thrown in his fire. Whatever you did for him will come out precious stones. And you're going to reap a reward for those works you've done for him. Those things you've done for yourself, it's going to burn up and you're going to lose it. But you can still be saved. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means you're not going to see the rewards that you should have. Amen? Hallelujah. We also talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Some people... Well, let's back up a little bit. The marriage ceremony where the bride is dressed in fine linen. You remember, while we're down here, we have been clothed with a garment of white. It's the righteousness of Christ, or the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us of all sin, and we have been granted his righteousness, which caused us to be clothed with the pure white garments. Amen? Your flesh can still mess up. But your spirit has still been cleansed, and it doesn't get changed by your fleshly works unless you continue willfully to continue to ignore and disobey God by doing the things you want to do rather than what he asked you to do. Eventually, I don't know how far you can go and what it'll take, whether it ever can happen. I don't know. I'm not God. But I tell people this all the time. Don't get in a place where you have to even worry about it. In other words, try to live your life down here the way that would please him. What is it that pleases him? Love God, love one another. If you love God, you will do what he asks you to do. You can't say, I love you, and not do it. Amen? And love one another. Don't tell me you love me if you see I have a need and you don't meet my need, and you can. You turn your back and walk away from me. Don't tell me you love me. And don't tell me you love me and just ignore me. If you truly love me, you want to know all about what's going on with my life. Amen? So anyways, enough of that. Let's go back to where we were. So some people, after that, we have what they call the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a celebration of the marriage. When you get up there and you have reaped your rewards, you'll be given another garment. And it's a filmy garment, a pure white. Amen? How do we know that? Because it says that that garment is given for the righteous acts of the saints. Your righteous acts determine that beautiful outer garment. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means, what's that important? I don't know. Let's see. I want to believe this to be true. Do I believe it to be true? I'm not sure. But I wanted to believe it to be true. That when a bride goes, or let's say a person who is engaged and they've got the wedding date set and they determine to go buy a wedding dress. Amen? She is buying it for her groom, not for herself. She wants to look the best for him. Am I wrong? I hope not. I hope that's the way it is. I hope. Yeah, there's always, well, if I don't look good in this to myself, I'm not going to. I understand that. But your whole purpose in getting the best gown you can possibly get is for the groom. Because you want to look the best for him on this special day. If you are going to stand before the groom, do you not want to be dressed in the greatest finery you possibly could be? So if your righteous acts determine that, isn't that part of what you're going to do? Is do as much as I can so when I stand before the groom and he throws all my works and my whole life goes into that pot, enough comes out so I can be dressed with fine jewels, beautiful wedding dress. See, this is not about if I do or don't or this or that, I got to do. No, it's about love. The bottom line, when you stand in there and throw your life, it's about love. The reward you reap, this is what I loved you. This is why I did what I did. I didn't do this so that I get great rewards in heaven. I didn't do this to impress other people. I didn't do this to make my name great down here. I didn't do it. I did it for you. Much of what you will do, you'll do in secret. And he said, I'll openly reward you. You may not see it down here. Sometimes you think, but I keep doing these things. I get nothing back. Oh, you're laying up treasures in heaven. And there's going to be a day when you will reap your rewards And when you do that, you'll go to him and say, Lord, it is you here. And the joy you will feel at that moment, the joy you will feel the moment that you see those jewels come up out of that fire, the joy that's in your heart, because you know what? You won't have to say it to him, because he'll know. He'll already know. That's when he puts his arm around you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. Come now, enter into your reward. Glory to God. Good stuff ahead for us, my friends. So, here we are. We're in heaven. Now, I went that far, and I meant to get to the place where I wanted to say this. There are some who believe that the wedding supper of the Lamb won't happen until after the millennial reign when Jesus sets up his kingdom here. I don't believe that. I believe it's going to be in heaven, but I'm not. Amen. I believe it's going to be up there. Because I think during that 7 years of tribulation down here, we're up there celebrating the wedding feast. We're not celebrating that we're not here. You understand that? We're not going to get all, we're not happy because they're suffering and we're not. Amen? No, that's not the way it works. We'll be up there celebrating because we're with the groom. The bride and the groom have come together, never again to be separated, because there will be no more death. Amen? Okay, so let's look what's going on after that. Here we are in verse 4. 19, we're in chapter 19. I wanted to go through the whole thing, but I'm not going to. Verse 11, we'll start there, I guess. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Now who is it, Faithful and True? Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. If there's any doubt, that's Jesus. Amen. He's on a white horse. He's dressed, ready for battle. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen. Who's the armies? Now, the armies, he said armies. That means there's more than one army. Most people believe that there's two armies being prepared to come back to earth. And one of them is the army of the angels. If you go back and look in the scriptures, and he talks about a time. Well, let's see if I can find it here. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings, keep your hand there. We'll come back here in a minute. 2 Kings, in chapter 19, I hope. Listen to this. This was a time when remember the servant? Let's see. Sennacherib came and surrounded Israel. And surrounded Jerusalem, actually, what happened. And the servant came and said, hey, there's a great army out there. God is surrounded. And he said, he asked God to open the servant's eyes. When he opened his eyes, he could see into the spirit realm where there was a multitude of angels, hosts of angels all around them, more than there was in the army that was down here, right? And what happened? Look at this. And it came to pass on a certain night, verse 35, and the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of Assyrians 185,000. One angel killed 185,000. And they had a whole host of angels around them. In one night. You think that's a big army? You think there's any hope for the people who are on earth when he comes back with his army? Armies, I should say. Because there's two, they believe. One being the angels. More than likely, I'm not saying they will or won't, more than likely they won't have to ride white horses. Right? But there is another group. Look what he goes on to say. Go back to 19. Hallelujah. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, that's us, by the way, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's us. You ain't going to be sitting in heaven. You're going to be learning how to ride horses up there. You're going to take riding lessons. Getting your word a day when you're coming back with him. The deal for what's going on the earth. So you're not going to just be sitting up there having a good old time singing and dancing and joyful. All that will be true. But you're also being ready to go to war. Amen? Because you're an army. We used to sing a song here. The army of the Lord keeps marching on. Remember that song? The Lord. Yeah, amen. For those who say, well, I don't want to be part of the army, it's your choice, I guess. I don't know. But once you're up there, wherever he goes, I got a feeling you're wanting to follow him without any argument. Yeah, but I'm too weak. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. Not after you got your glorified body. You don't have to worry about all that stuff anymore. You'll have more energy and you'll know what to do with it. Amen? You'll be dressed in fine linen. You're ready to go, man. We're heading back. Glory to God. Verse 15. Let's finish this out into 16. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Jesus is coming back. The weapon that he's carrying with him is the sword of his mouth, which means when he speaks, that's all it takes. Do you know that we have given the same weapons that he's coming back with? The same weapons that he's coming back with to defeat Satan has been given to us because you have the sword of your mouth. The sword of the Spirit is the what? Word of God. Do you know how many times we could have won victories and we didn't? Because we did not use the weapon that he gave us to win the victory with. You're not going to be coming back with machine guns, bazookas, tanks, Air Force, all that stuff. You're coming back on horses. Oh, my goodness. You ever read about when so many horses came down and they're fighting and they say, oh, that must be because he's talking about, no. I believe you're literally coming back on white horses. You're going to look cool. You're going to look good. I mean, you're going to look fine because you're clothed in fine linen. You're white. I mean, you and that horse are going to be just as... I remember a guy was talking about, he was up, God had somehow got up to heaven, however. And there was horses there. And he said, on one, he saw this piece, you know, robe was laying over it called Faithful and True. On his bridle and everything, Faithful and True. The angel said, he showed him all these other horses, and nobody was on them. And he said, who are those for? And he said, for those who are faithful and true. For us. As long as we stay faithful and true to his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. We're getting ready to come back. Hallelujah. Go into 2 Thessalonians. Wait a minute. Did I want to finish there? Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Let me see. Let me look first before I want to take you back there. Let's see. Where am I? There was someplace else I was going to go, but then this caught my eye, and I may have to go there. All right. Yeah, why not? Let's go there. Then we'll go back to the time. Oh. We'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church. Verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back with an army of angels and of saints. We're coming back. We're going to fight a great battle, and we're going to get into that next week. We're not going to get there this week. We'll talk about what it's going to be like when we come back here. We win the victory, and he sets up his kingdom, and we continue what it's going to be like living in the millennial reign. We talked about a little bit in Isaiah 65, but we'll look at it even more. See what it's going to be like. What are we going to be doing? What is your responsibility going to be like? Amen? Because if you think this world is tough compared to what's coming, you're right. It is. Because even though we're to work while we're here, and we will, it's not the same type of work that they're doing here now. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Father, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that their ears are open, their hearts are receiving, Father, that seed, and producing in them a hope for a future. It would be so wondrous that they would sell everything they got just to be part of it. Help us, Father, to walk in that grace. Help us, Father God, to stay strong, not to back off, not to slow down, not to be fearful, but always rejoicing, and again, rejoicing in the Lord our God. We praise you, Father, for the future. We praise you for the presence. We praise you for your glory. We praise you, Father, for the cross that we're to carry. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Having fun? Amen. Good things are coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're encouraged with these messages. I hope you are. I really do. It's so critical and so important to know that what is coming is so much better than what you have or what you've had or what is in the future here.